If we wish to have an agreement guaranteed, or to preserve a statement permanently, or make a will, we usually put it in writing. Now the Bible is God's permanent record of His guarantees and His statements, and the 66 books of the Holy Scriptures stand forever as the revelation of His mind and will. From this book, the book of all books, we desire to take you to four scriptures, to contemplate four handwritings we notice in various passages of this Bible. The first is found in Deuteronomy 9, where we have the writing on stone. The second is in John 19, where we have the writing on the cross. The third will be found in 2 Corinthians 3, where we will notice the writing on the heart. And the final scripture in Daniel 5 is the writing on the wall. Now in these writings, we wish to show these four things. First, man's guilt exposed. Second, God's grace revealed. Third, man's salvation effected. And finally, God's judgment pronounced. Now turning to the first of these scriptures, and you have your Bible, we would ask that you get it and follow along with us, please. In Deuteronomy 9 and verse 10, we read, "The Lord delivered unto me," says Moses, "two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly." Verse 4 of chapter 10. "And he wrote on the tables according to the first writings, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire." We have here the writing on stone by the finger of God, the writing of the law, the Ten Commandments. Now the law was given to show what man was, and this it has certainly done. The law is likened to a mirror that exposes, reveals. Likewise, a plumb line that shows if something is out of line. And it is also likened to a lamp which lights up to reveal the true condition of things. Now, this is what the law was given for. We notice in Romans chapter 3 that by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then in the fifth chapter, we notice that the law entered that the offense might abound. And then a third scripture in Romans chapter 7, that the law was given to show the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Now we need nothing more. There's nothing clear to show from scripture itself why the law was given. And the writing on the law, though given to a people, the Jewish nation, has proven conclusively beyond a shadow of a doubt that every mouth is stopped, Jew and Gentile alike. And in Romans 3:19 we read, "The whole world is guilty before God." Now the law also, dear friend, doesn't show any mercy. No, they that despise Moses' law died without mercy, we read in Hebrews 10. Also we read that cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. There are no loopholes in it. The law was stringent, and we also read in James that he that offends in one point is guilty of all. Now this is God's law, and this is God's word concerning it. Now what has the law done? It has simply revealed and exposed man's sinful condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is no difference in this. I trust that the listener has found this out, and that this first writing that we consider, the writing on stone, has really manifested to you your own heart as being sinful, away from God, incurably wicked. The second writing is found in John chapter 19. We notice in the 19th verse, the writing on the cross. Notice it, please. "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And that writing stands today as a revelation of God's grace. God in his grace has come out to men. Man's need exposed by the law. We have God's love revealed at the cross. In the writing, you'll notice, written by Pilate, undoubtedly Pilate was led to write, and God was governing as to what would be declared concerning his son hanging on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth. What is implied in that is simply that the despised one, the Nazarene, was Jesus, Jehovah, the Savior. What a name it is. And all God's love and grace has been revealed to us in Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. You notice who he is? The King of the Jews. And that is exactly what he is. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But before he will reign as king, he had to suffer at Calvary, and this he did. And this is what the Jewish nation stumbled at. But however, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And here at the cross, you'll notice that this writing on the cross was in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Latin. The Hebrew suggests that the appeal from the cross was made to the religious element of the day. To the Greek, we would have it implied that it was to the cultural part of society that God would appeal. Written in Latin was so that the Romans, the political rulers, could read God's mind, God's grace, and thus have opportunity for God's salvation. This is Jesus. Beloved friend, regardless of who you might be, what culture you might be in, what the color of your skin is, what education you may have had or not have had, your need is as a sinner met here at the cross of Calvary, and God wants you to know about it. God's salvation, the message of this wonderful grace of God, goes out to all men, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The civilized world at this time, the barbarian world, yes, all are made to see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All that was necessary to save man from his ruin and guilt has been done at Calvary. Man's failure to meet God's requirements of the law have been met by the death of Christ, not by the life of Christ. It's not that he made up our deficiency at all. It is rather that he bore the curse of a broken law, and that was death. He suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Does the listener know him as Savior and Lord, Jesus the Savior? God grant that you will. And if so, the next writing found in 2 Corinthians 3 will have been experienced by you. Man's salvation is affected by a divine work in the soul, in the heart of man. It's not the external subscription to creeds. It's not the putting on of a garment, so to speak, on the outside. Man looketh on the outward appearance. But, beloved friend, it's God that looks on the heart. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, in writing to the believers at Corinth, those who had heard the wonderful preaching of the gospel and been converted to God, are those that had been saved by grace, and on whose heart the Spirit of God had written. This third writing is a writing on the heart. In verse 2 we read, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, that is, nothing of a material nature, nothing of an outward character, but, notice, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. What is God saying here through the apostle? Simply this, that the salvation that he effected at Calvary for all men is given individually and forever to those that open their heart to Christ. And the Spirit of God is the divine power who works in the hearts of mankind. I'm not speaking of the physical organ here. I'm speaking of man himself in his innermost being. Man is composed, you know, of body, soul, and spirit. It's his spirit that makes him a God-conscious man. He is a personality with body, soul, and spirit. And when a man realizes his condition before God and repents, it's the result of the Spirit of God working in his heart and pricking him in his heart and bringing him to repentance toward God. And it is also faith produced by the Spirit of God that causes one to be brought into eternal relationship with him. When there is a writing on the heart, there is an acceptance of God's testimony in the power of the Spirit of God, his testimony concerning the cross of Christ. You accept Christ as your Savior. You receive him and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. This is a work of reality. It's God's work, dear friend. It's the work of salvation. Let me ask, has God written on your heart? If so, you will notice it is a writing that will manifest itself in a relationship formed and in a life received. It is not anything external. It is internally received. It is externally revealed. It says here that this work in the heart would be revealed and known and manifested, declared amongst all men. You know, when a person accepts Christ as Savior, there's a change in his life. This is what conversion is. And this writing in the heart produces regeneration. This is the need of every soul. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And if a man is not born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. But God desires to write on your heart. And if you will heed his word, if you will respond to his pleadings by the Spirit of God, you too will know what it means to be an epistle of Christ. God's writing in your heart, revealing him in your life. For the final scripture, we turn to Daniel chapter 5. And here we have the writing on the wall. This writing on the wall is done in the palace of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. You notice he is gathered there with his thousand lords and having a feast, sacrilegious. It is one that despises God. He's having a good time. And in the midst of this session of revelry, we read that the fingers of a man's hand came and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And we read his countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his knees were smitten one against another. And he cried for the wise men, the astrologers, to come and interpret for him the meaning. None of them could do so. And we know the story how Daniel was finally called for, and he came and he faithfully told the meaning of this writing on the wall. Listen, the writing was this, Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And the interpretation is, God hath numbered thy kingdom. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. What a message, what a writing. We call this writing on the wall the message of God's judgment. Judgment upon a man who had had opportunity to turn to God but didn't, and the one who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, the one who despised the grace of God. You know, dear friends, this we cannot do and not suffer for it. We read that in Daniel speaking to him, he says that he doesn't wish one thing from the king who had offered him gifts if he would tell him the interpretation. He said, let thy gifts be to thyself, he said. And then he goes on to tell, Belshazzar, about his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, you recall, was the one who had lifted up his heart in pride and said, "See this great Babylon that I have built." And God had to teach him a lesson. He brought him down where he had to eat grass like an ox. God brought him down to humiliate him. And he was humbled. And he was turned to God. He was converted. We read of that in the same book, in chapter 4. But you notice, he says to him, he says, "Thou, his grandson, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives, thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Beloved friend, we have a very solemn message here. And the application is to everyone who has not yet accepted Christ as Savior, who has not yet bowed to the condemnation of the law written in stone, who has not yet been moved in heart by the writing in the cross, salvation through Christ, who has not yet allowed the Spirit of God to write on the heart a work of reality, producing life eternal through trusting Him. This God records as a warning for all to give heed to. Oh, I urge that the listener today will face the truth contained in these four writings. You may be saved from God's judgment. He warns you from it. And mind you, just as certainly as God pronounced by the writing on the wall here, the judgment came to pass. We read that in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede came and took the kingdom. There is a day coming of judgment, and judgment is sure, and it will be swiftly executed upon all who despise God's grace and accept not Christ as Savior. Will you not today turn to Him in simple faith, be saved forever? Loving God our Father, we thank Thee for the revelation of Thyself in Thy holy word. We thank Thee too for the revelation of man's need. We thank Thee for the revelation, the writing concerning Thy beloved Son and His death at Calvary. We urgently would desire that Thou will bless Thy word to all the listeners today, thanking Thee for the opportunity to present the truth of God. We water it with our prayers. To Thee be all the glory. In our Savior's worthy name we pray. Amen.